Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Talking about news reporting, and I think that it's so interesting that this is the subject that we have been speaking about. Dr. Linda Blokland is a chairperson at Clinical Psychology Forum. We wanted to understand from her how news changes the way in which we think. Good morning. Thanks for joining us so bright and early. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, thank you, Howard. I hope you're well too.
I am indeed, and it's really, really fascinating because we had actually set up this interview prior to an incident in Israel last night where five people were murdered in Bnei Brak in a terror attack, and that's a suburb just outside Tel Aviv. Five people murdered, and a lot of our local news is not even reporting it.
That's terrific. I'm really sorry to hear that. I haven't.
Of course, you hadn't heard because why would you unless you were specifically engaged in this news? And that's exactly our point. But news does influence the way in which we think. And the example that I was using, and I did, if you weren't listening before, I've just messaged Adrien Basson, the editor of News 24, to say to him, there have been three terrorist attacks in the last week in Israel. A total of 11 people have been killed. If News 24 doesn't report that, but then only reports when Israel does, carries out a reprisal, then you can't blame people for being outraged and horrified at Israel's behavior because they don't have context. And that is exactly the situation that I think is a concern around media and reporting, is if we don't have context, we are very, very susceptible to influence. Give us your thoughts.
I think I completely agree with you, Howard. I mean, you know, this what you're saying about the context, which is so incredibly important to us being able to make a judgment or make sense of events in our lives, never mind only in the media, is extremely important because it puts a bias on what we're hearing, doesn't it? And the media does tend to screen or filter events for us. So we do get exposed to some kind of a bias from the media, depending on which way they're wanting to skew this.
So isn't it all a continuum? I mean, we're looking at Russia today, excuse that expression, Russia, in today's environment, and we're saying, wow, the Russian people are completely subject to one-sided news and propaganda. But to some extent, it's all a continuum. It's all a scale, and we might not be susceptible to that extent or subject to that extent, but somewhere along the line, there is a bias that we're being influenced by.
Absolutely. Yes, I think this goes without saying all the time, because obviously the news isn't going to just give us an open view of what's happening. We're not being, even if we're witnesses, we're also filtering information through our own thoughts. Now, our own thoughts become very important in terms of how we interpret events around us and so on. But that bias is definitely there in the media, whether it's completely intentional or incidental. I think it's inevitable to a large extent.
So how do we protect ourselves from that?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And I think a very, very challenging thing to protect ourselves from that. But to become aware that there's always some other side to the story, that what we're being told is possibly the tip of the iceberg, or there's a lot of information that's been left out of the report, and to try and do our own research so that we can get a more balanced picture of what is actually happening.
In terms of our families, there's also no doubt that, especially with social media and the strong, strong influence that it has over our children's lives and our own lives, we shouldn't think that it doesn't. But how do we manage that? We can't manage everything our children are reading or our teenagers are exposed to. What is the message and the discussion and a way that we can talk about these things to create awareness in our children?
Yes, thank you for that. And you're right, we can't screen everything our children are watching. And especially as they get older and they become teenagers, they will look up things as they wish. I think what might be important there is for us as the adults, as the parents, is to engage children in conversations about these things and to help them become aware that what they're reading is just one aspect of a story. But that conversation about possible different sides and meanings and so on, I think is really, really important. so that children can also learn to become more critical about what they hear and what they read in the media.
It's a very, very difficult, it's a very difficult one. What emotional impact does all of this, this type of exposure have on us and our families?
Well, depending on what we are being exposed to, it can be pretty devastating. You know, if we're looking at trauma work, very often people who haven't been involved at all who are more traumatized. So by just being exposed to images and news reports and so on, it can have a devastating impact on people as you are exposed to only the worst possible scenarios, and then our imaginations run wild and we play with this in our thoughts.
We spent some time living in New York, and what I found at the time, and it was a number of years ago, quite a few years ago, but what we found was that news had become very personalized there. So a child falls out of a one-story or two-story building or whatever it would be, and everybody's crossing live to the emergency room, and it's coming back, and then they're getting comments from neighbors, and it became very, very personal and very dramatic and very anxiety-provoking. And my observation of the environment at the time was that, for example, parents were incredibly anxious about all sorts of horrors that could befall their children, just using that as an example, because of this very personalized news reporting. But yet personalized news is the way in which we understand it. When we hear 3 million people being displaced in Ukraine, it's meaningless to us. But take us on a journey of one family and we feel something very different. There's the upside and the downside of both of those, I imagine.
Absolutely, Howard, yes. So it's true, the more personalized that the information becomes, the greater the impact. And if we just look at something like reports of suicide, you know, if it's just some person that we don't know anything about, it has far less of an impact on us. But the moment we can connect with that person in some way, whether it's a public figure or somebody in our own community, it has much more of an impact. So, and similarly with anything that we hear or read or see in the media.
Dr. Linda Blokland, chairperson at Clinical Psychology Forum, talking to us about the way that news changes the way we behave and think. Thank you for joining us so early on a Wednesday morning.